Well, it's lovely to be with you this morning on this, can you believe it, the seventh Sunday of Easter. Golly, time goes quickly, doesn't it? O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Almighty God, thank you that you see us and know us. Thank you that when we struggle, we are following in Jesus' footsteps. Help us to give our burdens to you this day and give you the glory. Amen. You called us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Lord, we know we should be ready for whatever life throws at us, but we aren't always. And sometimes when help is offered, we brush it off. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us with your hope. Sometimes we haven't been alert. We ignore the suffering and needs of others. Sometimes we think our trials are unique, forgetting others who are suffering. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us with your hope. Amen. Our loving God knows our every thought, our every move before we do. When we are truly sorry for our wrongdoing, he waits for us with open arms. So now, as we have confessed our sins, he blesses us with his forgiveness and gives us his strength to carry on. Amen. And Dawn has our first reading for us.
The first reading is from 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning, a verse is taken from Psalm 68. Do please join me if you'd like to. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you, God, went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord. To him who rides across the highest heavens, the ancient heavens, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Dawn has our gospel reading.
Our second reading comes from John 17, starting at verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. The name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Several weeks ago, thousands of runners undertook the London Marathon. Many raised money for good causes, some ran in costumes, and the elite runners who set off at the front of the field competed for a prize and potential course record. For everyone involved, it was the culmination of months of hard work, planning, and training. A common theme in the stories posted afterwards is the pain and difficulty of the run itself, and those things that have helped individuals to push through and keep going to the end of the race. Some have overcome personal hardships, which led them to pursue the goal of running a marathon in the first place. Others talk of the cause that they are raising money for, and how the importance of making a difference to those in need helps them to push on and keep going. Along with the joy of having achieved, there is also struggle, suffering, and pain. Each of our readings this morning focuses on disciples who suffer and struggle because of their faith. Peter comes back to the theme several times in his letter, promising restoration and comfort through Jesus Christ. As he concludes his letter, Peter invites his readers to look beyond their difficulties and eagerly await the time when God will exalt them in the glory of Christ. He uses a series of commands. Humble yourself. Give all your worries and cares to God. Stay alert. Watch out. Stand firm. Be strong. Remember your family of believers throughout the world. These commands set out the shape of their resistance to hardship. Underpinning this, Peter offers reasons for hope. There is a limit to their suffering, which is not simply the result of human hostility, but flows from the enemy's efforts to catch them out. But Peter reminds them, God has defeated the enemy in Jesus Christ, and soon Christians will share in the triumph of that victory. In our gospel, John records the things Jesus said to his disciples during their last supper together, and then recounts Jesus' prayer for them. Jesus knows what is coming and recognizes that his disciples will need strength to survive. John links Jesus' glory with the cross in chapter 12 and names his death as the completion of his work in chapter 19. This mission is now accomplished and completes a circle of giving in which the Father gives followers to the Son, and then the Son gives his followers eternal life, which is to know God through the Son. This is all about a relationship. It's not about gathering facts or information. Jesus' prayer moves on to a passionate request for protection, which reflects both the immediate danger to the disciples and the long-term pressures faced by many Christian communities. Later in the prayer, Jesus asks for God's protection for all believers, those present, those yet to come, and that includes us. Jesus understands the risk of following him, but also wants to emphasize the reward of faithfulness. So the question I've asked myself this week is this: what role does prayer play in our world right now? A world rife with pain, illness, loss, and death. Does God routinely intervene in human affairs? Does his intervention or lack of it depend in any way on our asking? Can prayer change God? Can it change circumstances? Can it change us? When I was at Sunday school, we used to sing a chorus, "Prayer changes things." And the question is, does it? Whatever the answers to these questions might be, we know one thing for sure. Jesus prayed. Jesus asked. Jesus made supplication to God. And on this last Sunday of Easter, we're invited to listen in as Jesus makes what is known as his high priestly prayer to his Father. The setting for his prayer is the upper room on Maundy Thursday, and the mood in the room as Jesus talks to God is heavy and poignant. Jesus has just said goodbye to his disciples, and every word, deed, and gesture he has offered them is weighted with grief. He has washed their feet, fed them bread and wine, promised them the Holy Spirit, and commanded them to love one another. He has spoken to them with both tenderness and urgency, as if time is running out, because it is. Now, in the last moments before his arrest, Jesus looks up to heaven and articulates his heart's deepest desire to God. "I am asking," Jesus said. "I am asking." And though the disciples are meant to overhear what Jesus is saying, his tone has an urgency and a passion to it that is achingly private and intimate. Jesus is doing more than teaching in this moment. He's ripping open his heart. Jesus spends his final hours on earth in humble, vulnerable supplication to God. He ends his ministry by hoping, trusting, and asking into uncertainty. Asking is the last act of love he pours out to his disciples gathered round his table. It is the last tender memory he gives them, the last gesture of hope he extends to them. Contrary to what we might expect or prefer, Jesus doesn't awe his followers with a grand finale of miracles or humble them with a show of divine authority and power. Instead, he looks up to heaven with a trembling heart and gives his dearest friends to God. I am asking, he says. It's important, I think, to remember that Jesus spent his last hours pouring out his heart to God. You see, when all else falls away, prayer remains. Prayer paves a way forward into renewed hope, strength, meaning, and new possibilities. So, what does Jesus ask for in his high priestly prayer? Well, many things, but one request stands out, not least because it has not yet been answered. Holy Father, Jesus says, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. That they may be one. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus commands his disciples to love one another so that everyone will know that they are followers of Christ. On the night before his death, Jesus declares the unity of his disciples as the hallmark of Christian witness. Our ability to love one another across differences, our willingness to preserve, value, and cherish our oneness is precisely how the world will know who we are and who we belong to. Our love for each other is how the world will see, taste, touch, hear, and find Jesus. And we know that the reality is really, in many ways, the complete opposite. There are signs of disunity everywhere. What Jesus seems to be saying is that if we fail to reconcile, if we think division, separation, bitterness, and discord are normal, then the world won't know what it needs to know about God, and that breaks God's heart. The world will believe that the whole Jesus thing is a sham if we're disunited. It will assume that there really is no power to transform lives in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It will decide that God is mean, angry, and vindictive, determined only to shame and punish. The world will believe that the universe is ungoverned by love, and it will write off the church as flawed and hypocritical, not Christ's living, breathing, healing body on earth. Such is the power of our decision to love or not to love, to be one or to be divided. Such is the responsibility we have been given, whether we want it or not. And the shocking thing is, I think, that I take Christian disunity for granted. I barely notice it. What breaks God's heart no longer breaks mine. I'm not shocked and dismayed by the fact that we Christians have more denominations and splinter groups than I can count. Take Tiverton, for example. At one point, there were 17 Christian churches in the town of Tiverton alone. 17. All of them, apart from one, the result of division and disunity. And I don't grieve as I should over the fact that I can shop around, see what I like, what takes my fancy, and church hop, although I can't, of course, because I'm a vicar. as if churches fall into the same categories as clothes, shoes, or shampoo, a sort of Christian pick and mix. Jesus spent his last night on earth pleading for the unity of his followers, praying that the church would be one as he and the Father are one, not uniform, but unified, committed and determined to love, reconcile, bless, and unite. And that's why I believe we must seek unity on every occasion and work together for the kingdom of God. 2,000 years after Jesus prayed for unity, maybe, just maybe, we can be serious in our efforts to pray for it too. Maybe we can realign our desires with Jesus's, that they may be one, remains God's cherished desire. May it become ours as well. Amen. Dawn has our prayers for us.
Let us pray. There is a response. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and the response is, hear our prayer. God of all grace, though we look to heaven to find you, turn our eyes to the world in which we live. Help us to see you at work around us and to place all our anxieties for ourselves, our community and our world into your loving hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, though we are often afraid, as the first disciples were, keep us close to you and constant in prayer. Help us to remember that your word was given to comfort us in times of trial, risk, difficulty and violence, and to trust that you hold us in your wounded hands. We pray for people who are persecuted for their faith, and for people whose faith leads them to speak out against injustice at great risk to themselves. May we not be surprised when our faith is tested by life and its struggles, but trust you for the strength we need to survive. You affirm the value of our lives on this earth. Keep us all firm in our desire to serve you, although it may cost us everything. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, though our government seems precarious and divided, and people are agitated and angry and experiencing hardships caused by the cost of living, give us hope for the future. We pray for an end to the political psychodrama and infighting, for a renewed focus on the challenges of people's daily lives, and on finding answers to the inequality that destroys well-being. We pray too for calm, competent, and brave government that delivers the change that our society needs, and ask that all members of the government will make wise rather than self-serving choices. We pray for international leadership that seeks peace with justice, remembering particularly Ukraine, which is facing new bombardment by Russia and the Middle East. And we pray for urgent action to eliminate the starvation, disease, trauma, and suffering caused by war. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, though our efforts seem so small when so much need surrounds us, we ask for your strength. We pray for the members of our community who work tirelessly to improve the lives of others, and for people who do the mundane and often unnoticed work that our lives depend on. We pray for volunteers in our church community, giving thanks for their unassuming but generous service to others. May we treat one another with gentleness and kindness, and carry each other through when life causes us pain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, though life can be hard and sometimes we cannot see the way ahead, teach us to trust you when darkness surrounds us. We pray especially for anyone who today feels despairing or overwhelmed by life, and for the sick and only. And we pray especially for Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Brian, Nigel, Audrey, John, Richard, John, Kathy, Bob, Oliver, Mary, and Jemima. And for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. We also remember the family and friends of those who have recently died, Margaret Tidball. That they will be comforted by your love that meets us where we are, root us in community and in friendship, and help us to restore and support each other when the going is tough. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, though our lives and our world are full of uncertainty and suffering may come, you will love us to the end. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit and equip us to do the painstaking work of creating heaven on earth. May we be faithful companions to Jesus in his work of transformation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And the collect for the seventh Sunday of Easter. Risen, ascended Lord, as we rejoice at your triumph, fill your church on earth with power and compassion, that all who are estranged by sin may find forgiveness and know your peace. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you, and those you love and pray for this day and always. Amen. Almighty God, you are the creator of all things, and you love us completely. Increase our faith so that we can give all our worries and stresses to you, knowing and sharing in your amazing peace. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. It's lovely to have your company. If you're free at 6:30 for Thy Kingdom Come Compline each night, but not Tuesday, then please join me using this login detail. What else? Oh, I might see some of you. Don't know, Derek Long's funeral on Friday. If not, see you soon, and have a good week.
When
Thank
did
you.
Margaret die?
Sorry?
When did Margaret Tidball die? That was a complete shock.
She died on Thursday.
Is she related to Rosie?
Tibble. Ah, do you know, I think she might be, but
Not
not a close
directly.
relative, I don't
Right.
think.
That was a shock.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing for her. You know, she was in a home in Honiton,
Was she?
and she had serious dementia.
Oh,
Yeah.
dear.
So actually, she hasn't had to suffer very long, I don't think. But I don't know when the funeral will be.
Thank you. Sorry to
That's
interrupt.
all right. Daughter's got to come over from Australia, so
Exactly. Yeah.
probably going to take a bit.
We used to employ one of the daughters, so we yeah, and we used to get eggs for the school from Ron years ago.
Oh.
I bet you got so much more than eggs, though.
Yes, we did.
A thought for the Bless him, bless him.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Anyway, have a good week, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very
Sunday.
much,
Good
Beth.
dawn,
Thank you
too.
for your
Yes, have a great holiday. Thank you,
Oh,
Dawn.
yeah.
Yep.
Have a wonderful
Hopefully,
holiday.
see you next week.
Oh, we might be there. Yes.
Yes, we might be able to get
It'd be
online.
lovely to see you.
Yeah, if the wind's in the
Okay.
right direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
Take care, Angela.
all.
Bye bye for
Anyway, lots of
Bye.
love. Bye bye.
Take care,
Love.
everyone.
Thank
God
you.
bless. Have a
Bye.
lovely
God
week.
bless.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.